All right, so one of the things that, as again, worship team, thank you, and just incredible music. If we could just turn this down just a little bit. One of the things about this evangelistic thing coming on, and I just want to say this as lovingly as I can, this is not a spectator event. In other words, yes, there are some pastors that are working on putting something together that will happen in September 2020. But it will take every one of us in all of the churches that are involved in order to make it happen. All right? So I just want you to know that. So this next Sunday, which is the 26th, there is what we call a concert of prayer. And it's not a rock concert or anything like that. It is it's an hour set aside so that we as church people in the body of Christ will come together to begin to pray for our community. And so we really want you to just invite you to come. It's going to be out at Tanwax Chapel, and it will be just a concentrated time as we begin to pray for our community, for Eatonville and the extending areas. We just continue and begin to lift up corporately this area for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen? And then on the 8th, which I just told you about, is training so that not only can you like somehow bring people somewhere so maybe they could hear the gospel and get saved, because that would just seem easy, right? If someone else just did it for you. Okay, but I just want you to know something, that even though that's going to be an amazing event, that you have the opportunity to be equipped and trained for the sake of sharing the gospel with your friends and neighbors all the time. So again, this will just give you those tools in order to do that. And we do welcome you to become a part of it. So you're probably looking at this thing over here going, well, what in the world is that monstrosity that Dan created? And so I just want, you know, we've been talking through the book of Galatians, and the first four chapters, the Apostle Paul has really laid out this perspective, and it is so important for you and I, and it is this, that you and I as believers are saved by grace and grace alone. Amen? Okay? So we understand that it is because of God's grace that you and I that are, through the power of His Holy Spirit working in us, that our eyes are open to the truth of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection on your behalf and mine, and for the forgiveness of sins, so that we might be made right with God, so that we might live with Him for all eternity. That's grace. Grace is something that is given. But here's the thing. One of the big battles through church history, and what really maybe kind of turns people off from church, is this. That in grace, there are those that would say, well, God started it, but I have to finish it. So the law is that all the rules, all the regulations, all the practices, all the traditions, all the times that we say we need to meet together, all the foods we should or shouldn't eat, all, or shouldn't, that is all left up to me in order to, and I'm just going to say it this way, to stay saved. That is a battle that didn't just happen in Paul's day, it is happening now. Okay? In Paul's day, there were those that were saying, you must be circumcised. Okay, I'll just say it now because I'm not going to say it later. Paul says in the passage that we're going to look at in Galatians 5, I wish that they would go all the way and just emasculate themselves. Okay, pretty harsh words. Okay, because it doesn't matter how hard we try, we can't please God in and of ourselves. The big question then comes, well then what are works for? Works are a response to what God has done for us in His grace. And that is so important for us to understand that it is His works that does that. And so in grace, then, we have liberty or we have freedom. Okay? We have freedom. And one of the things that we just need to understand is, so in Galatians chapter 5, there's two poles that Paul is speaking of. The first one is don't lose gospel freedom in works. Don't work to be saved. Don't lose gospel freedom. On the other end of the equation, then, that we'll end with is this, don't abuse gospel liberty or freedom. Okay? Because that is another component that just says, hey, I'm saved, therefore I can do whatever I want and it doesn't matter. In fact, you know, some of us would say, I just go out and do what I want. It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong before God. If it's wrong, I'll just confess it and then I'll be okay. That's an abuse of grace. And that's what Paul is confronting the opposite poles here. Let me read the passage, Galatians 5. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law, not just the one. Okay? You have been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by the law or by works. You have fallen from grace. Let me just, I'm not going to talk about it. That is not a passage that is speaking that you can lose your salvation. You have fallen from your perspective of what Christ and only Christ has done. You have fallen from that. For verse 5, for through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness, the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven and the whole lump, leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view but the one who is distributing you will bear his judgment. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I being persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. So this first piece of this, don't lose gospel freedom. Freedom, folks, is something that all humanity desires for and strives for incessantly. And in Galatians chapter 15, the piece that I've just read to you, the Apostle Paul offers us a profile or a description of what it means to be truly free. And he tells the Christians that freedom is something. Okay? So if you're taking notes that freedom is something, the freedom that the Apostle Paul is speaking here is not it's not mere physical freedom, nor is it freedom from sin. He knows that you and I as believers have been set free from the bondage of sin when we were saved by grace. So one of the things that we just need to understand here, and this is not in your notes anywhere or won't show up, but freedom is a person and his name is Jesus. Okay? So Paul wants the believer to realize that they are free in Christ. As we've already read in Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body of flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So a lot of times, and this is one of the struggles in this battle right here, a lot of times we often think of freedom as freedom from something, okay? That freedom is the removal of restraint, all right? So we think of freedom as just unshackled to nothing. I am just free. You ever said those words? I'm free. Free to what? You have to ask to what? See, however, Paul is explaining that Christian freedom is freedom to something. You were once a slave to sin. Now you are a slave to Christ. Freedom is freedom to something. Romans 6:11 says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. We have been set free from the curse and the burden of keeping the law, and we have been set free then to live to the glory of God. My friends, our freedom is not a license to sin. That would be an abuse of God's grace that He has freely bestowed on us. And in Romans 6 then, right at the beginning of Romans 6, 1 through 4, Paul asked the question, dealing with this side of the equation of Christian liberty. He says these words, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may live a new life. Grace, God's grace, allows you to live a new life. A new life free from sin, not so that you can sin freely. So we were created to live a new life for the glory of God. And yet we know from the biblical account, due to the fall, we have become slaves to sin, and we have been in that state ever since Adam and Eve's rebellion in the garden. We were powerless, the scripture says, to fix our fallenness. And in the context, being circumcised, observing certain practices, do not grant you and I God's approval. So in God's sovereignty, He intervenes, as it says in Galatians 4, at just the right time that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a woman under the age of law, or under the time of law. In Galatians 4:4. So at salvation, that's what Jesus gives and offers to you and I, the debt that Jesus paid. He paid to ransom you and I from sin. Slavery is applied to you and I, and we are set free to live as we were originally designed to live. Though we know that this won't perfectly be realized until we are glorified with God after death. So we're in this battle. We're in the battle of the already and the not yet. This is where we live. We're right caught in the middle, but we are covered by grace. And that is just so amazing to live there. So even though we know that we are going to struggle, and my friends, you and I are going to wrestle with this little picture here every single day of our lives. And if you aren't, you ought to be in heaven. Or if you aren't, you're not His. It's that simple. Okay? But that freedom that we have, folks, truly We are free not to sin. Okay? That doesn't mean that you're not going to, but the price has been paid. You are free to not sin. Okay? You are free on the other side to do all for the glory of God, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see, when we take the abuses of grace and try to do it in works or just do whatever we want to do, we are doing it for the glory of us, not God. And Paul was concerned that the Galatians and other believers from that point on would come to believe that they had to keep themselves saved by their good works, as if Jesus saved them at the first, but now it was up to them to maintain it. And I just want to ask a question. We laugh about this, but how's that working for you? Jesus saved you, but now it's up to you to maintain it. You know, that, folks, that's not a very good place to live. Okay? So freedom in Galatians 5 is freedom from the guilt of sin and the doubt that is produced by sin, which expresses in our desire to cover that guilt and to cover that doubt with our efforts and our works, our the circumcision, the rules, the traditions, the practices, the observances, the thou shalt and thou shalt not. And if I live this way, I'm okay. What threatens our freedom is our failure to trust that Jesus holds us tighter than we could ever hold him. Do you catch that? In this wrestle, in this wrestling right here, this war that we'll go on to explain later on, that in that war, it threatens our failure is to trust that Jesus holds us tighter than we could ever hold on to him. Okay? So we slip into this error often and easily. We believe that it's our disciplined lives that earn God's approval, or we see Jesus as the union boss that demands due payment in order to keep us in good standing. And Paul says that this lack of faith, that is, our inability to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, causes us to be our own Savior. How many of you did at least one thing wrong this last week? Okay, you can laugh. Okay, you're going, you only said one. Okay, I didn't say 20. Okay, how many of you confessed that wrong? Okay, not as many hands, but you confessed, right? So, in your confession, sometimes our confession is, wow, that was really wrong. I feel guilty. I'm confessing. But I'm really like, okay, I'm confessing. And so here is kind of this wrestle that we're talking about. I've confessed, therefore I'm okay again. The work is us, not him. It's that simple, folks. We do it all the time. If I confess, then I'm okay. My friends, if we were really okay, we wouldn't sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that we should not confess our sins, but confessing our sins really means that we are turning. We were going in one direction, and confession means we are completely turning 180 degrees and walking in a different direction. And I don't know about you, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I have confessed things that I knew that the next moment or maybe the next day I would do it again. That's not confession. Okay. So whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we just need to see that Paul says that this lack of faith is our inability to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, which causes us to be our own Savior. And this is what most threatens our freedom in Christ. And then Paul shows us how to live free when he says these words in verse 5, for through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Now I just want to just make a couple of points as we begin to wrap this up, that Paul is showing us how to live freely, our lives should be marked by the unshakable hope that we are waiting for the hope of righteousness. Have we been made righteous? Yes. But we are still in the process of being made right. So there is a hope of complete righteousness that will one day be ours. Amen? Where we will be completely right in all aspects with God. And that is the hope that we are clinging to. Biblical hope is not like worldly hope. Hope is not synonymous with uncertainty. Biblical hope is certain. I will be made right. You will be made right. We will be perfected. We will be made like Christ. In Romans 8:28 and following, it says, and we know that in all these things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Amen. So as he confronts the one end, don't work to keep your salvation. Then he moves to the other side, and real quickly then he says, don't abuse your gospel freedom. Don't abuse it. And it's amazing in this piece that he says, for you have been called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, for sin in us, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't it amazing that he didn't start with the great command to love God first? He just goes to the second half, and this is the second part of that commandment. He goes right there. And you're going, well, what in the world is Paul doing? Because here's the deal, folks. You can't love your neighbor unless you love God. If you don't love God, if you are not devoted to God, if you and I are not committed to God, if God is not our first love, then I'm just going to be honest with us. We can't love others. It's impossible. You may have human attempts, and you may even have some successes, but you really will not love, and you really will not serve, because if we are not loving God, if we are not bathed in that love, my friends, there is only one other thing that we love, and that is self. And we will love self above God, and we will love self above others. And so the Apostle Paul brings the law that we're trying to live by over here in order to appease God, and he says, if you really want to appease God in grace, then do the very thing that he says, which is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Give yourself away. Practice. Serve. Love. And then, by the way, and this is, we're just coming back to where we've been for years, and because everyone wants to know, well, what's the mission of the church? It's to love God, to love others, and to go share your faith with those that don't know him. It's not going to change until God comes back. That's it. Okay? But it's only when we understand what we have been given in grace that we can then fulfill the law as God intended it to be fulfilled. And the law then, the freedom, it's not a have to, because of grace in me, because of Christ in me, because of all that, I want to do the very thing that I'm trying to do over here in my own human effort. Now I can do it with Christ in me, with His Holy Spirit empowering me. Now I have liberty to love Him, to follow Him, to obey Him, to love others, to serve others, and to give my life away. So again, he says, my friends, don't abuse grace. Don't abuse it by the law, and don't abuse it by doing your own thing. But out of grace, become the person that God has called you to be. We're going to close with a song, a video that just speaks of the glory of God and then nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. So I just want you to listen to the lyrics and read the lyrics and just hear the song as we close this. Then I'll close in prayer.